This physical science lesson is brought to you by the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Education.
Greetings, everyone. This is Malibongwe Khumalo from Umlazi Comtech. My main focus for today will be physical sciences, paper 2. And in physical sciences, paper 2, we'll focus on organic chemistry. Right. When we talk of organic chemistry, it's a very interesting part of science that is applicable in real life. And then what do we mean by that? When we say organic chemistry, there are many substances in real life which are organic compound and they are useful to our real life situations. For an example, as we are experiencing COVID-19, when we talk of this coronavirus thing, the president said we must use sanitizers. You must know that when we talk of a sanitizer have got isopropyl in it. What is this isopropyl? It's propan-2-ol or 2-propanol. 2-propanol, it's an alcohol. It falls under the homologous series or the group of compounds which are called alcohols, and it is the one that kills germs in the sanitizer. Right. There are so many organic compounds, and they are saying that we must take vitamin C every day so that we will be protected of somehow. Also, vitamin C have got another organic compound which is called ascorbic acid, which is very useful. So when I talk of organic chemistry, I can mention many. The clothes we are wearing, when you're talking of polyesters, everything, plastics, that is organic chemistry. So organic chemistry is everywhere we go. Then what is examinable? What is it that we must know so that we will pass the exam? There is a terminology that is used in organic chemistry of which a learner must clearly understand. When they say molecular formula, you must know what is it that they want from you. When we say molecular formula, it's the formula that represents the number of atoms in the molecule. When we say, maybe for, let me take methane. Methane have got one carbon and four hydrogen atoms. So when we say molecular formula for methane, you must write CH4, because there's a difference between molecular formula, structural formula, and homologous series functional group. You need to know all those terminology so that you will be able to answer whatever that is relevant to the question. So when they say, what is the molecular formula? You must know, okay, you must write something that will tell us that how many atoms are present in the organic substance. And then when they say structural formula, you must know that you must show all the bonds, meaning that for, if we may take an example of methane, it will be carbon at the center, and then you write the hydrogen atoms surrounding the carbon. And then you show all the bonds. Then that is a structural formula. When they say condensed structural formula, maybe for ethane, you must know that you will write CH3, CH3. Then that is a condensed structural formula. The bonds are hidden, they are not shown. And then when they say functional group, it's a characteristic of a certain homologous series. For an example, when they say write a functional group of alkanes, you must know that, okay, you'll write C with a single bond to other C. So it's carbon bonded to another carbon, but there's a single bond. And then ensure that all these carbon atoms are surrounded by four bonds, because you know very well that carbon is in group 4 in the periodic table. Therefore, it have got four bonds which surrounds it. So when they say, write down the functional group for alkyne, you know that, okay, it will be C, and then the triple bond, then another C, and then you balance the number of bonds around each carbon. Each carbon must have four. So you must know exactly when they say homologous series, functional group, structural formula, condensed structural formula, because that is your question two in the final exam. Right. And then what is this homologous series? Maybe they will give you a compound. Maybe they say propene. Compound B is propene. Then the question will say, what is the homologous series for compound B? Then you must know, okay, compound B have got a double bond because they said it's propene. Then the homologous series for compounds that have got a double bond, it's alkenes. So we'll say alkene. Alkene is the homologous series. Alcohol is homologous series. Carboxylic acid is homologous series. Right. And again, you must know that we have got saturated and unsaturated compounds. When we say saturated, we mean that between carbon atoms, those compounds have got single bonds. When we say unsaturated compounds, we mean that they are more than one bond, meaning that it can be two or three or more. But if it's more than one bond between carbon atoms, then you know that, okay, this compound is unsaturated. Then again, they will say, define an isomer. What is an isomer? Then you must know, okay, isomer, it's compounds, organic compounds, that have got the same molecular formula, but different structural formula. Then again, you must know, okay, when we talk of isomers, there are three different types of isomers that are examinable. The first one is chain isomers, second one is positional isomers, and the third one is functional isomers. Right, what is the difference between the three? When we talk of chain isomers, maybe let me take an example of butane and 2-methylpropane. So when we say chain isomers, they will have the same molecular formula, obvious, but the arrangement of the chain will differ. When we say butane, it's four carbon atoms that are written in a sequential order. It will be first carbon, second carbon, and the third and the fourth. Then it's butane, it's a straight chain. And then when we say 2-methylpropane, it will be three carbon atoms. Then at the center, or in carbon number two, you will have a branch, and that branch will be a methyl. A methyl is CH4. So when we say these are chain isomers, we mean that okay, we'll have a straight chain compound, and then for the other one, the arrangement of the chain will be differ, but the number of carbon atoms will be 4, and the number of hydrogen atoms will be 10. Then if the molecular formula is the same, but the structural formula is not the same, then you know it, okay, these are chain isomers. And one other thing that will help you to be able to identify the chain isomers is the name. You see, if we talk of the IUPAC name, the IUPAC name for the other one would be butane, and the IUPAC name for the other one would be 2-methylpropane. So if the name changes, then you know very well that, okay, these are isomers, chain isomers. And then we come to positional isomers. When we talk of positional isomers, maybe I'll make an example of but-1-in and but-2-in. When we talk of but-1-in, it's four carbon atoms, then after the first carbon, we'll have a double bond. And then the other one, but-2-in, it would be four carbon atoms, then after the second carbon atom, there would be a double bond. So if we say these are positional isomers, it's because they've got the same molecular formula, but the structural formula is different. How is the structural formula different, or how it differs? It's because for the first one, the double bond, the position of the double bond is after carbon 1. And then for the other one, the position of the double bond is after carbon number 2. So what is different here is that the position of the double bond changes. So it may not be for alkenes per se, it may be for alcohols, as I've indicated that when we talk of isopropyl alcohol, the substance which is used in sanitizers, and I indicated that one is propan-2-ol. We can have propan-2-ol and propan-1-ol. Those are positional isomers because the position of the alcohol or the hydroxyl group is in carbon 1 in propan-1-ol and in carbon 2 in propan-2-ol. So that you must know. Then when we talk of functional isomers, the molecular formula will be the same as well, but the functional group will be different. And then which one are those ones? It will be maybe esters and carboxylic acid, where you find that, okay, we have C double bond O and CO, and then for both of them, you will have the Carboxyl group. They call it the Carboxyl group. You will have the Carboxyl group, but for esters, it will be at the center, and then for carboxylic acid, it will be at the edge or at the end of the molecule. So when we say functional isomers, the molecular formula will be the same, but the functional group will differ. For an example, let me make one example of functional isomers. And maybe we will take a methyl methanoate and ethanoic acid. A methyl methanoate, it's an ester. It has got two carbon atoms, two oxygen atoms, and four hydrogen atoms. And then ethanoic acid is the same thing. It has got two carbon atoms, four hydrogen atoms, and two oxygen atoms. But this one is methanoic acid. It falls under carboxylic acids. And the other one is methyl methanoate, which is an ester, so it falls under esters. So when we say these are functional isomers, we mean that the molecular formula is the same, but the functional group in which these compounds belong is not the same. Right. And then again, it will be naming. When we are naming organic compounds, you must know that, okay, there is a certain order that you must follow. For an example, you must be able to identify the longest chain. You must be able to identify the groups or the branches or the substituent that are there in the structure. And then you must be able to know what is the name of each substituent or each branch that is present. Maybe it will be a bromo if you see bromine, or chloro if you see chlorine, or it will be a methyl if it's a carbon that have got the hydrogens only, or an ethyl if it's two carbons and hydrogens. It will depend. And then with branches, it would be methyl, ethyl. Propyl is out of scope, so don't bother with that one. And then it will be the haloalkanes, which is bromine, chlorine, iodine, of which for bromine you will use bromo, iodine, iodo, etc., etc. But when we are naming the compounds, make sure that you identify the longest chain, and then you identify the branches, and then you must know the name. And then when you are arranging them, you must know that you must follow an alphabetical order. For an example, if you have got a branch which is a methyl and a branch which is a bromo, you must know that bromo comes first in terms of alphabetical order, and methyl will follow. So it will be, maybe for an example, if I can make one example. Let us say we have a structure that have got five carbon atoms, and then in the second carbon there is a methyl, and also in the second carbon atom there is a bromine. So it's five carbon atoms, and then in the second carbon atom it will be there is a methyl, and then also in the second carbon atom there is a bromine. So, if you were to name that structure, firstly, you will identify the longest chain. So, the longest chain have got five carbon atoms. And then we know, because they are single bonds, then this is pentane. Okay, but this pentane have got branches. In carbon number two, there is a bromo. And in carbon number two, again, there is a methyl. Then, if you were to write the name, you must understand that, okay, bromo comes first and the methyl follows. So the name of this compound will be 2-bromo, 2-methyl, pentane. Okay, then that's it. Then you must know that between the number and the letter, you put a dash. Let me repeat. Between a number and a letter, you put a dash. Between a number and a number, you will put a comma. And then between two letters, there is no space. So when we say 2-bromo, 2-methyl pentane, it's one word. When you write IUPAC name, you write one word, not two words. Be careful of that. And then we will come to question 3. Question 3 in the final exam, it will be about the physical properties of these organic compounds. When we talk of physical properties, it's the properties that they show in real life. For an example, when we talk of alkanes, alkenes and alkynes, You know very well that if it have got less than 5 carbon atoms, meaning that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, you know that the phase of those compounds would be a gas. All of them are gases if they have got carbon atoms that are less than 5. And then from 5 to 17 carbon atoms, you know very well that it's a liquid. When we talk of these gases, maybe you can think of the gases that are used especially for catering purposes. The gas stoves that are used for catering purposes, mostly they use a gas. And those gases are alkanes, alkenes, alkynes. It depends. Okay. And then when we say maybe the number of carbons is now between 5 and 17, you must know that, okay, these are liquids. And those liquids, among them, we have paraffin, we have petrol, we have diesel. Petrol have got approximately 8 carbon atoms, diesel approximately 13. Yeah. And then when the carbon atoms are greater than 18 upward, you know that, okay, those are solids. It may be during our days there was a cooking oil which was called Wholesome. It's a solid. I don't know nowadays if it still exists. Right. And then, so that's it about the phase. And again, you must know that in terms of solubility, these alkanes, alkenes, alkynes, they are not soluble in water. They don't mix in water. The reason behind is that the strength of intermolecular forces between these compounds is very huge. So if there is a huge difference in terms of the strength of intermolecular forces, you tend to find that, okay, those two compounds will not mix and their density will be different as well. Yeah, so when we talk of paraffin and water, they don't mix. Oil and water, they don't mix, and we know very well. And when we talk of oil, those are hydrocarbons, those are organic compounds, and water have got their own bonds as well. The dipole-dipole, but the stronger dipole-dipole forces, which are called hydrogen bonds. Okay. And then they will tell you to identify or to be able to tell if which compound have got a greater boiling point or greater melting point than the other. That is the most interesting part, and examiners like to ask such questions, whereby they will give you maybe two compounds or three compounds, and then they will tell you to identify the boiling point and the melting point. So in this one, you must be very careful and you must know what is it that you need to do. Maybe they will give you two compounds. For an example, they will say there is propane and butane. So when I say propane, you know very well that is an alkane, and it's an alkane that have got three carbon atoms. And then when they say butane, you know that, okay, that is an alkane which have got four carbon atoms. Then the question will say, which compound between propane and butane will have a greater boiling point? That is easy. First step, you must talk about the structure. Okay, what is the difference between the structure of propane and butane? Then the second step will be to talk about the strength of intermolecular forces between them. You identify the type of intermolecular forces, and then you compare the strength of intermolecular forces. And then lastly, you will need to talk about the strength of, or not the strength, but the amount of energy that will be required to break the intermolecular forces between these compounds. So if you talk about the structure and you talk about the intermolecular forces and the energy, definitely you will get full marks. Let me give you an example maybe so that you'll know what is that is expected from you. Right. I made an example of propane and butane as well. So when we talk of propane, I've indicated that propane have got three carbon atoms, and then butane have got four carbon atoms. So when they say which one have got a greater boiling point, obvious, the one that have got a greater boiling point will be butane. And then they will say, explain your answer. How did you arrive to your answer? And then you say, propane have got a lesser chain compared to butane. Okay, it's a lesser carbon chain compared to butane. For saying that, you are recognizing the structure that, okay, this one have got three carbon atoms and this one have got four carbon atoms. Then the chain for propane is shorter than the carbon chain in butane. So for recognizing that and comparing, because you must compare, don't say propane have got a shorter chain. It have got a shorter chain than who? Because if I may refer to myself, when I'm standing alone, I'm very tall. But if I'm compared to Mark Tyson, I am very short. Yeah, so you only say something is short when you are comparing. So in this case, indicate that propane have got a shorter chain compared to butane. And then you have recognized the structure. And this chain that you are referring to, it's a carbon chain. So it's a shorter carbon chain. And then by saying that, recognize that, okay, if it is so, then the strength of van der Waals forces or the strength of London forces in butane will be greater than the strength of London forces in propane. So you are recognizing that butane have got London forces or van der Waals forces. And at the same time, you are recognizing that the strength of intermolecular forces in butane will be greater than the strength of intermolecular forces in propane. Then you have spoken about the force. And then lastly, it will be NH. You are now concluding that, okay, therefore, if butane have got stronger intermolecular forces than the intermolecular forces in propane, that means you need a greater amount of energy to break the intermolecular forces of butane compared to the amount of energy required to break the intermolecular forces of propane. By saying that, you will get full marks. And then at times, you will find that I made an example of alkanes. At times you will find that they will maybe give you an aldehyde and as well as an alcohol. So in that case, recognize that this substance is an alcohol and this one is an aldehyde. By recognizing them, then you have recognized the structure, then you must be given a mark. And then recognize that the strength of intermolecular forces in alcohols is greater than the strength of intermolecular forces in aldehyde, and also indicate that alcohols have got hydrogen bonding, and then aldehydes have got dipole-dipole forces, which are weaker than hydrogen bonding. By saying that, you will also get another mark. And then, obvious, if there is more, if these forces are strong in alcohols, the hydrogen bonds are strong, that means you need a greater amount of energy to break the intermolecular forces of alcohols compared to the intermolecular forces of the aldehydes. And then for question three, how you will swim. Okay, and then question four. Question four will be about reactions. They will give you flow diagrams, and then you will have to identify reactions, and these reactions have got a catalyst. There are many types of reactions. You must study all of them so that you know very well that you are safe. First one, it's combustion reaction. When we talk of combustion reaction, that is when you will add an hydrocarbon with oxygen. So if you are mixing oxygen and hydrocarbon, definitely you will get carbon dioxide and water if it's a complete combustion, because it's possible that you might have an incomplete combustion. In a complete combustion, it's a hydrocarbon added to oxygen, and then you will get carbon dioxide and water. But in an incomplete combustion, it will be a hydrocarbon added to oxygen, and then we'll get carbon monoxide and water. So you must be careful. For incomplete combustion, you will get CO, which is carbon monoxide. And then there will be substitution reactions. whereby it's alkanes reacting to haloalkanes, and definitely we'll need a catalyst, and a catalyst in those reactions will be sunlight or ultraviolet light, which is HF. They will sometimes write HF, which is the energy of light. So you know, you must know that for substitution reaction of alkanes, the bromine will substitute a hydrogen, and then the hydrogen will move out of the structure and the bromine will get where the hydrogen was. It can be anywhere. The examiner will guide you, so you don't need to worry which hydrogen will be substituted by the bromine. No, it can be any. It's the examiner that will guide you which one. And then there's cracking. When we talk of cracking, you must also know that you need to know the law of conservation of matter. And then that means if ever you are cracking a substance that have got 5 carbon atoms, definitely after reaction you must have 5 carbon atoms. It might happen that you have got now ethane and then propane, which is 3 carbons plus 2, which gives us 5. Because when we are cracking, we are breaking large organic compounds into smaller useful substances. For an example, they will talk of crude oil in the news. You must know that when they talk of crude oil, it's longer chains of carbon atoms. And then if you break them, we'll get petrol, we'll get paraffin, we'll get methylated spirit, all these useful substances. Yeah. And then there are addition reactions. When we talk of addition reactions, these reactions, they dominate the question paper. They dominate question 4. And they are very easy. For an example, if we talk of addition, mostly we are adding, as the name says, it's addition. So we are adding. It might happen that we are adding hydrogen or hydrogen bromide, or we are adding water, but we are always adding, or maybe we are adding a halogen. Yes. So how does it go? Maybe let us say, to be general, let's say if it's addition reactions, you must know that, okay, we'll have a double bond, and then we'll have a substance that is reacting with that organic compound that have got a double bond. Maybe let us say propene. Propene have got a double bond. And then if propene reacts with hydrogen, know very well that, okay, where there is a double bond, the double bond will break. And then once the double bond is broken, one bond will remain in the structure and the other bond will open 2 vacant spaces. And then with these 2 vacant spaces where the double bond is broken, what will happen? If you are adding hydrogen, that means the hydrogen atoms will go into these 2 vacant spaces, and we will now have propane. It was propene, and then we added hydrogen, and then the double bond was broken. One was left on the structure and the other opened 2 vacant spaces, and then we put a hydrogen. So in summary, whenever you see an alkene, look for the double bond. Let me repeat. Whenever you see an alkene, look for the double bond. That is where the reaction will take place. Once you find the double bond, break one. If you break one and leave one, that is broken, it will open 2 spaces. In those 2 spaces, something will be added there. And then in this reaction where I added hydrogen, there is a catalyst, and the catalyst is platinum or nickel or lead. And these are the reactions that are used in the manufacturing of margarines. The margarines are, you know, margarines, yeah. So these reactions are used in the manufacturing of margarines. Oh, then the name of this reaction is addition reaction, or the type. Let me say the type of this reaction. It's addition reaction. And then the question will say, what type of reaction is this one? And then we'll say hydrogenation, because you are adding an hydrogen. And then when we say halogenation, that is when we will be adding a halogen. And fortunately, these ones, they don't have a catalyst. So if you are adding a halogen on an alkene, definitely no catalyst, the reaction is spontaneous. You look for the double bond, break one, put the 2 halogens, and then you'll have your product, which belongs to the haloalkanes. And then hydrohalogenation, you are adding a hydrogen that goes with the halogen. So meaning that it might be HBr or HCl. Maybe we will take an example of propane. And then to propane we add HCl. HCl is a hydrohalogen. So we are adding this hydrohalogen in propane, in an alkene. You will break one bond. And then hydrogen will go to the other vacant space, and the chlorine will go to the other vacant space. But here you must be careful. You must apply Markovnikov's rule. Markovnikov's rule says there is a major product and a minor product. And it says because I'm adding a hydrogen and a halogen, the hydrogen will go to the carbon atom that have got more hydrogen atoms. Let me repeat this one. In hydrohalogenation reactions, you will have a minor and a major product, and you will apply Markovnikov's rule. So what does it say? Markovnikov's rule says, if you are adding a hydrohalogen, which means it's a hydrogen and a halogen, the hydrogen will go to the carbon atom that have got a greater number of hydrogen atoms, and then the halogen will go to the other, and that substance will be a major product, and if it's vice versa, the other one would be a minor product. And then for hydration, you will add water, and then if you add water, definitely you need a catalyst, and the catalyst will be sulfuric acid. So if you put sulfuric acid and water in alkenes, definitely will get alcohols. You can even make the isopropyl, the propane tool that I was referring to, the one that is used in sanitizers. If you go into your school's laboratory, you can take propane, and then in propane add water, and then you add sulfuric acid, and then some little or mild heat so that the reaction will be faster. And then that's it. You will have a sanitizer because if you add water in alkenes, you will get alcohols. And then it's esterification. Esterification, you are producing an ester whereby you will react the carboxylic acid and the alcohol. And again, you need some spice of a catalyst, of which the catalyst is sulfuric acid and mild heat as well. So if you combine the two, you will get an ester. And esters are known for a very good smell, a pleasant smell. The perfumes that we use after bathing, mostly, most of them have got esters. So if you can do that without fail, definitely will pass. And then I will not mention all the things. I know you have studied organic chemistry, but I was just giving you a guidance because the president said we mustn't stay at home, we mustn't relax. It's not a holiday. You must remember the country is just facing a crisis. So since it's not a holiday, make sure that you always open your books, you always study, and I will recommend that you even start the term 2 work, because this was a term 1 work. Otherwise, thank you. This is Mr. Khumalo from Umlazi Comtech. Our lesson ends here.
That physical science lesson was brought to you by the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Education.